Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 7, day 5 of our study of Judges. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Judges 14, 15 through 20. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you've been blessed by this podcast and you're interested in helping with production costs, we have a Patreon page where you can join in. Links are in the descriptions and the show notes. With that, would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Judges chapter 14, starting in verse 15. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Didn't you invite us here to steal our property?" Man, these Philistines are marvelous people, aren't they? This is over 15 sets of clothes. They're coming. These guys are thugs. Samson has chosen some really good people to run with, you know, as we will continue to see as the story plays out. Samson does not choose his associates, his friends, his lovers, or really anyone wisely. And so, you know, these guys, they come to her and they're like, "Hey, we're going to lose a relatively small bet here with Samson, and we're angry about it. And so go and find out, or we're going to kill you and everyone you love and care about." Really great way to start off a marriage. I mean, this just sounds like something out of, just the worst daytime television you could imagine. Verse 16. Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, "You hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer." We're going to see this a little bit over and over here. I don't know if this is just a common thing amongst Philistine women to behave like this, or if this was common amongst all women at the time. I don't want to comment on anything and make it sound, you know, sexist in any way, but the two main women in this story are going to sound very similar, and they're going to sound like somebody that no man would actually want to marry. So it's really bizarre that Samson has chosen as he's done, and more than likely it's because he's never had an actual conversation with her. It's this just that she's pretty. Samson has chosen this woman to be his wife, and we do see that she is his wife now. You know, the 7-day ceremony in American or Western culture, you know, you have the ceremony, you have the "I do," and you're married, and in this it's a little bit maybe less formalized, but somewhere in these 7 days she is now technically his wife, and how exactly that looks is up to different people's interpretation who, you know, studied ancient traditions and things like that. And actually, I just want to point out that sometimes the people who study ancient traditions just assume that the ancient traditions for different cultures are very similar to how they would be now, which may or may not be correct. And so we don't really know a lot about the ancient wedding ceremonies, especially during a tumultuous time where you know, he's an Israelite marrying a Philistine, and there's all of these different intercultural things going on. So needless to say, they're having a 7-day wedding ceremony, and he's messing with them all during the process, and nobody's happy. Like, they're having this 7-day ceremony, and now we find out that nobody's happy, so much so that they're threatening death upon Samson's wife if she can't come up with this. All right, continuing on. "I haven't even explained it to my father or mother," he replied, "so why should I explain it to you?" She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. And we understand why she's crying is because, again, they said, "We're going to kill you and everyone you care about." Continue on. So on the 7th day, he finally told her, because she continued to press him. She in turn explained the riddle to her people, and therein lies Samson's great weakness, as he is given over to peer pressure or to whining or badgering or whatever you want to call this. He's very susceptible to this. And the same thing is going to happen with Delilah. And hopefully that's not a spoiler for you. Hopefully you are reading ahead. I want to encourage you to read through this book 10 times in the 10 weeks that we're going through this. We're on week 7 right now. And so we got 3 more weeks after this. If you're just now jumping in, or you're just now saying, you know, I think it would be good to read through this like that, you still got 3 more weeks that you can jump in. And I always encourage people, if you can't, or, you know, when you start, commit to doing it 10 times. And if you only make it 5 times, that's 5 times more than you would have read it had you not committed to the 10. So don't beat yourself up if you commit to 10, you only read it 5, or you read it 7, or even if you read it 2, that's still better than not reading it at all. So I want to encourage you, if you can, commit to that 10 times and read through the book of Judges 10 times in 10 weeks. You'll see so much more in the book, but more than that, you'll encounter the Lord himself more when you do that, when you fill your mind with God's word over and over again. All right, continuing on, verse 18. Before the sunset on the 7th day, the men of town said to him, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" So they come to Samson, and again, he didn't give them a riddle so much as he gave them an unsolvable mystery, because it's an inside joke or an inside story that only Samson knows. This is like playing charades with people in your family, and then they come up with the title of a book that hasn't been written and is only inside their head. That's impossible. You're never going to get it because it doesn't exist. And the same thing here, Samson has just made this thing up, and it's impossible, and he knows it's impossible. But again, they're kind of the ones who are responsible for this, because they agreed to the riddle before they heard it. They agreed to the bet before they heard the riddle, and the riddle's nonsense. And if they'd really been on top of it, they should have been like, "Samson, that's not a riddle. That's just something that you came up with. That's not a thing." But anyway, he gets very angry about this. Continuing on, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would have not solved my riddle." I think even by standards in those days, we could consider Samson to be a pretty sexist guy. He's calling his wife a cow. He's calling his brand new wife on the 7th day of their wedding ceremony a cow. So even by anybody's standards, that anyone, any time in history, this is not awesome. And the implication here, he's using the metaphor to say, hey, he's kind of even maybe half accusing them of sleeping with his wife or being with his wife, plowing with your heifer. Again, not great imagery, not great imagery. We're seeing a little bit of the character of Samson here. But it almost seems like Samson is really angry about this on more than just the primary level of thinking that, she told you, so you guys are all conspiring together, but I'm wondering if there's a little bit more going on, that you got this information out of my wife. He's probably thinking, you shouldn't even been around my wife. You shouldn't have been in the company of my wife to have found this out to begin with. So Samson's thinking there's some impropriety going on here. And he's accusing them of that, just that, in potentially the most sexist way possible. Verse 19. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of everything, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he returned to his father's home. And Samson's wife was given to one of his companions who had attended him at the feast." So what's happened here is using this potentially newfound supernatural strength, Samson is filled with rage, not only because he lost the bet — the losing the bet is the lesser problem for him — it's really the fact that now he thinks, not only has she told them this riddle that's not even a riddle, but he thinks that they've slept with her. Potentially even multiple of them have now slept with his brand new wife. And so he is just filled with rage that he goes to make good on the bet. He actually goes to one of the principal Philistine cities. There's five main cities of Philistia. He goes to Ashkelon and he kills 30 people, what it seems like in broad daylight, and takes their clothes after killing them, and then brings what he promised. I mean, strips them naked, really, because he's taking their clothes and their undergarments, and then brings them back and gives them to these 30 guys. And then he's so angry about potentially thinking that they've been sleeping with his wife, he goes off and he just leaves. He just straight up leaves and leaves his brand new wife there and just doesn't even deal with anything. Like he kills 30 people, gives these guys the clothes to make good on the bet, and then just goes back home. And so the father of the bride here is, you know, sitting there twiddling his thumbs thinking, huh, I'm not sure what to do now. Is he coming back? I've got this woman now who I don't know how I'm going to marry off to anybody else. And so he gives her in marriage to one of these 30 guys, which then kind of makes it seem like maybe there was some impropriety going on. Maybe they did sleep with her. And so one of these guys is like, I'll take her. She'll be my wife, you know, from here on out. So there's just some screwed up stuff going on here. And again, Samson is not going to learn his lesson from this. This whole thing should be like the wake up call to Samson to realize I shouldn't have tried to marry a Philistine woman. Even if it was just cultural differences, making it difficult to marry into Philistine culture, that would probably be enough. If not just the Lord saying, don't do it because they'll make you serve their gods. But on top of that, not only does he find some Philistine, you know, family to marry into, he finds really terrible people. And maybe what it is that the Philistines with their idol worship and their false gods, there might not be any people of high moral character within Philistia for Samson to choose. But at the very least, it should be this slap upside the head for Samson saying, okay, I'm done with that. I am going to turn my heart back to the Lord. I'm going to rededicate everything inside of me back to him. Repent for eating out of the lion and for going down and partying with these people and getting married to a Philistine woman. Like, this is a moment where Samson should be repenting, but that's not what's going to happen. He's actually going to double down on the badness here. And in doing so, the Lord is still going to use him. But again, I think the Lord is going to be using Samson in spite of Samson, not because of Samson. The Lord is actually going to use Samson to bring about this deliverance to Israel, but not because Samson is just partnering with the Lord in this great way, but because the Lord has chosen him and he's going to use him regardless whether or not he's got Samson's cooperation or not. And it really doesn't seem like he has Samson's cooperation. When we look at the judges, we see the story of Samson, and it's fantastical because of the superhuman strength. But when we actually look at what Samson accomplishes as far as the deliverance of Israel, he's probably the least effective judge, the least effective deliverer of any of the judges, any of the stories throughout this book. He seems to accomplish the least. We're going to see in the course of his life that he's going to kill 1,000 plus 30 Philistines. And at the end of his life, he's going to kill a few more than that. And that's just nothing compared to what these other judges have done. And so the Lord is using Samson. And it's a story that's going to be told, but it's not really a great story. And it's not even a great military. There's no upside. There's no military victory. There's just nothing awesome about this story. But it captures our attention because of the superhuman strength. But we're going to see next week as we continue on that, again, Samson's going to double down into the stupid, and it's just going to continue to get worse. But for the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.